it's a confidence thing. And when I stepped into being gay, and I had been gay for about a year or two, that's when I really was like, okay, I know who I am. Like, I stepped into myself, and I kind of reclaimed, like, all of the wrongdoings. Like, I was like, I'm in my power, and, like, nobody's going to take anything from me anymore.
Sapphics and allies, you're listening to Queer Women Rising. That's women with an X, because we are inclusive here. When we hear the stories of queer women who have gone before us, we see evidence that there's nothing we can't do. And yes, we can too. It's time for you to level up in life, in love, and step into your most authentic, abundant reality. You won't be the same after this episode. It's your turn to let go of good for greatness.
Your best life is now loading.
Let's rise.
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 Let's rise. Beyonds, today I am talking to a queer woman who broke into the modeling world at age 14 and then came out gay at 26. Today's guest is model and actress Olivia Day. Originally from Georgia, Olivia started modeling in New York as a teenager. She moved to Los Angeles to work in TV and film, and is now back in New York City living her best life. Along the way, she's been a model, an actress, a poet, and reality TV creator, all while navigating her own journey of self-acceptance, which I know is something we can all relate to as queer women, and coming into loving ourselves, figuring out who we are, and figuring out how to be successful while being who we are. In this episode, we're going to dive into Olivia's experiences in entertainment, what it was like coming out at 26, and how she's using those creative talents now to express herself and connect with others. Welcome to Queer Women Rising. Tuning in from the islands right now, so let's hope that the internet is in our favor today.
Hello.
It is.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Olivia. Nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you, Sophia.
Oh, no.
is my service bad?
It's glitching just a little bit. Let's hope we can hear you.
Okay.
Let's just pray. We will pray this works. But I want to know, what letter of the alphabet soup do you identify with first? That's my curious question. Do you identify as a lesbian or bi? What is it?
I definitely identify as a lesbian. I think when I first came out, I was like, maybe I'm bi, but no, I'm definitely 100% a lesbian. I can't go back to men. No.
I get it. That's exactly how it was for me. I was like, well, I was with men, so what does that make me? And then I realized it doesn't make you any less valid. Like, there's no going back.
Yeah.
I love this. Okay. And then, because I have the Queer Country Club where women are looking for single women, I have to know, are you single? Are you taken? What's the status?
Oh, Sophia. I am single, but I am not in a place right now to be in anything serious. I'm just having fun. So I like to kind of preface that, because otherwise I feel like it's a little misleading. But I am monogamous when I want to be in a relationship. But just right now, I'm not in a headspace.
Hey, that is honest. That is all we can ask for in this world, is some honesty. So thank you for starting with that. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I want to hear your coming out journey. It's got to be absolutely insane to be in an industry where people, I'm assuming from the outside, expect you to just be so feminine, and you're straight, you're a model, you're so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. What is that like being in that world since you're 14 years old? And like, at what age did you start realizing that you weren't straight?
Yeah, I think, okay, so I did not know that I was gay. I was like completely brainwashed by society and like growing up in the South. So I just had no idea. I was like obsessed with my boyfriends, literally loved them. But I always kind of knew, like, I just thought, I mean, I'm not going to get graphic, but I just kind of thought, like, maybe this is how it goes, like women shouldn't have like a oh every time or something.
Yeah.
So I just kind of figured that's what it was. And then I don't know, my brain started opening up when I moved to LA and I got out of the South and I was just modeling and I was around like beautiful women, but my mind wasn't like open to it. And then I just saw Ruby Rose on TV and I was like, who is that? And it was almost like because she was masculine, it was like a safe way to kind of integrate into the lesbian world. And because yeah. she was on such like a prominent show too, I was like, okay, yeah, I can maybe get down with this. And I just kind of realized like, I just have to try it to see. So I reached out to a girl that I found on Instagram and hooked up with her within like a day and just kind of realized, yeah, I definitely was missing something with men. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about women and I just never really looked back. I kind of tried to go back, but it wasn't there anymore. Yeah. It was like, it was just like something my body didn't want anymore, which was very strange.
It feels like a rejection, like a repulsive thing to me now. It's so weird how that works.
Yeah.
Okay. You said you're from the South. I'm from Louisiana. Where are you from? And like, was religion a part of this as well for you?
So I did grow up religious, but as soon as I was 13 years old, my dad was like, you have the option. Like, do you want to go to church? And I was like, no, I don't want to go to church. I could care less about this. So I just literally never went back. But I did grow up raised around a bunch of people because I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, but it's Decatur, Georgia. So it's like a suburb that's 40 minutes north of Atlanta. And it's pretty like Southern, like cookie cutter Southern women that, you know, get married to the man. A lot of traditional house roles, which is totally fine. You know, a lot of them have kids by the time they're 25. No shade at all. Just kind of what it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wasn't really exposed to any gay couples. And I actually was talking to my mom the other day about this. I was like, did I show any signs of like being gay? Like, did I just miss something? Like I played softball, number one. Like that's
okay, that's the sign. my mom wouldn't let me play. She'd be like, only lesbians play softball.
Yeah. I was like, well, I literally like played softball. Like I played basketball. I was better at like most sports than a lot of women. And I had very like masculine energy. But I also had like a hyper femininity to cover it up or something. Like I don't, it was the straight, I was like a walking dichotomy or juxtaposition. So yeah, she said that I almost had, and I hate to admit this, but I almost had like homophobia when I was a child. Like I'd be like, no, like I would never like that. Like, I don't want them to like me or touch me. Like I almost had, my sister told me that too. She's like, yeah, you'd be like, ew, like a lesbian. And I was like, how horrible, number one. But like, I feel like that's just where we come from. Like it's like we push away what we're afraid of or something.
100%. I can recognize that in my childhood, I used to post statuses on Facebook, like anti-equal marriage rights. Yeah, like that's when I was 12
crazy.
Years old.
That's
like in my history. And going to Victoria's Secret, I would like look at the models on the walls and kind of like not let my eyes focus or like kind of look down because I felt so much guilt for looking at them.
Dude, I would do the same thing. Like I would watch like films and I'd be like, wait, why do I think this is like, I can't watch this. Like I would almost feel grossed out. Like as soon as I felt something like attraction wise, like in with like a sex scene with women or something, I would immediately shut down.
Yeah.
And like a lot of my friends, it's so strange because growing up, girls hit on me all the time. Like I was like all my friends, and I don't know if this is just like I think part of it is like when you're in middle school and high school, like girls kind of make out with each other and whatever. Like I don't know how normal that is, but I know that that's like
I don't know. I miss school. I was like so religiously homeschooled, so like I'm like listening.
Okay. So like we would have like sleepovers and stuff, and like I think at like 13 we started getting drunk. I was an early bloomer because I was modeling in New York by the time I was 14. Wow. So I was an adult by like 15. I had done everything. I lost my virginity at 13. I had done bad. Yeah, I was bad. So at like 13, we were like having sleepovers and I would just remember the girls would like come on to me. And when I got really like intoxicated, I would kind of let it happen. But then I would wake up with so much shame and I don't really remember it. And I never really identified with that as me like hooking up with girls because I was never like a choice that I consciously made. It was something that like my body wanted when I was like really young, and maybe I don't know, but it was never like a, like I don't really remember those experiences. I just remember feeling shame around them. Like I kind of shut down. And then when I got older, it's like, I was like, oh wait, like we used to experiment at parties. Like maybe I did like that. Like, I don't know. It was kind of like I blacked it out or something. I don't know, but they.
So interesting. Are you saying like full on, like had sex with girls or just make out?
No, like make out and like grind probably.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like just being like drunk. So like it was never like hooking up, but it was definitely like more than like a kiss, you know?
Yes, of course. So, and then you wake up feeling the guilt. So where do you think the guilt came from? Just society? What about your parents? What was that like?
I think society. I think it's taught that it's just like wrong. I 100% think it was society. I don't think my parents even had a conversation with me about it because I covered it up so much, because I was so unaware that they never thought that like I could. Oh yeah. Yeah. Hi, babe. Oh, that's my friend Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can read it out loud too if you want.
Yeah. She said, "Hi, baby. Doing such a great job. Can I comment? I grew up in Midtown Atlanta, born and raised, and it was/is a city you can be yourself, but outside of the city, no. So true. And that's really such facts. Like, if you're in the suburbs, like, you absolutely cannot like express yourself in the way that you would really want. I think now the younger generations can a little bit more, but there's still such strict parents, and there's still so many serious religious groups like in the suburbs that they don't allow it. So
no, that would make sense.
Yeah,
like even just last night, like looking at the map of Georgia, because we're recording this on the day after the election, like just looking at the map, because everyone's very seriously looking at Georgia, right? And we could see like just this little dot of Atlanta, but everything else was red. So it was really interesting. I just based on that alone, I would imagine that's the way it is.
Yeah, it definitely is that. It definitely is that way. So like when I came out, I told my mom first. Actually, I didn't even want to tell her. I literally had a girlfriend for 2 years. Okay, I was posting this chick on my Instagram for 2 years trying to hide it from my mom. And this was back when I was thin. So my first girlfriend looked like Ruby Rose. Like I pretty much ended up dating the one that I first hooked up with.
Wow.
She destroyed my heart. Like this girl ripped me to shreds. She was horrible. Not a good person, but like I was so attracted to kind of that toxicity, I think, back when I was like an unhealed version of myself.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is, fuck it. Like, this is really hot. Like, I don't care. But yeah, I dated her for 2 years and I didn't tell my mom. I like was dreading it for some reason. She approached me and she's like, okay, it's like Christmas. Like, who is this person you keep posting? And people are like commenting that you have a girlfriend. Do you have a girlfriend? And I was like, yeah, that's my girlfriend. And she was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And she started to literally cry. Okay. Broke down in tears. I was like, what am I going to tell my friends? Like in her book club, like who gives a fuck? Like, and I was like, are you serious? I was like, this is so mean. And luckily I was like kind of confident, like already at this point that I was kind of like, my mom's being ridiculous. Like I was totally okay with myself at this point. Thank God. Cause if my mom had had that, thank God. Cause if my mom had had that reaction, I might have gone back to being in the closet or something, because it was so intense and unnecessary. And then she did the strangest behavior after that. She sent me a book of naked men with cats on it.
No.
Like holding, like naked men, like holding cats, like to be like firemen, like holding cats. I was like, what the fuck is this book?
Like, well, that will not reverse the lesbianism, mom.
Like, I was like, why are you?
Oh my, okay, but now, are things okay now? Like, has she accepted you?
Well, okay, yeah. So she's like super, I would say she's chilled, but she doesn't talk to me as much about like my girlfriends or not girlfriends, but when I have people I'm dating or whatever, she'll ask kind of questions, but she used to be like super into my dating life and now she's much more subdued and like a bit more reserved in what she asked, but she's accepted it. She knows it's not going to change.
Yeah.
I think she probably would have loved for me to still be straight, but it is what it is.
And is this not coming from like some religious thing for
her?
She
grew up in Pine Mountain Valley, which was super religious. Like they were in church every single day. Her dad was like a deacon. My dad was actually a deacon in the church too.
Wow.
So yeah, she grew in her little city or town, whatever it was like 100 people. Like she knew everybody in her high school and everybody was straight. So yeah, it definitely affected, I think, her upbringing.
Yeah.
And beliefs.
I can just imagine like this perfect Southern woman who gets to brag that her daughter's a model in New York City. And then now she has to go back and tell the book club that, wait, she's a model in New York City. Dude. She's also a lesbian.
Like, she literally did not want to tell her friends. Like, she had tried to hide it for so long. And I was just like, Mom, like, you're going to have, it doesn't matter. Like, stop. Yeah. My dad, on the other hand, marched in the gay pride parade that year.
Oh my gosh. See, that makes my heart so happy. I don't foresee that, like, ever happening in my future, even though they're, like, accepting.
Is this your mom?
But that sounds like a dream.
Somebody just asked, is this your mom?
Yeah, I think, like, I think he means, like, about, like, are we talking about your mom in the story?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, is Sophia my mom?
No.
I was like, what?
No, Olivia Day is not my mom. Wait. Yeah. So your mom is accepting of you going out to New York, though, at age 14 to be a model? Because isn't that, like, known to be, like, kind of dangerous? Like, they're going to ask you to get naked? Like, that's what I hear.
Yeah. So, no, she was not about it. But what happened is I actually won a pageant.
Okay.
When I was 14, I won the Miss Freshman pageant at my high school, and they had the dress that I bought a dress from this place that wanted to do a catalog, and they put all their winners in the catalog. I shot the catalog with a girl that was a model. That model showed it to her agent. Her agent was like, who is that? They signed me like the next week, and then I literally, I don't know, hit a stroke of luck and just blew up in Atlanta very fast, and then got signed with Elite in New York. And it happened so fast. My mom was really not about it, but I begged and begged and begged. I was like, please, like, this is what I want to do. I want to model in New York. And, like, I was doing so well that they were like, we have to, like, let her go to another market if this is really what she wants to do. So it's probably my mom's biggest regret, because I got out of hand, and I can, like, talk about that a little bit. But, yeah, I moved out there when I was 14. I lived in a model apartment with other girls. And I was out every single night, partying every single night. When I first got out there, I booked an 8-page spread in W. It was unheard of. I was like the first unknown person to ever do W. And it was because the photographer's name was Olivia too. And it was back in the day, like before social media, because I'm older, you know?
Yeah.
How
old are you again, Olivia?
I never tell my age, Sophia. How dare you ask me that?
Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to if you don't want to.
I'm not answering. I always say, like, how old do I look? That's how old I am.
You look 25 to 30, age ambiguous.
I'll take it. Thank you so much. Perfect.
Yeah. Like, people always ask me too, and I'm like, I'm so Botox that, like, this is age ambiguous. Like, I could be 35, I could be 25. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Is this all natural, or, like, your lips natural, your cheekbones natural?
I've had everything done you can possibly have, except for, like, surgery. Like, I've done lasers, fillers, Botox. I've but no, like, nose jobs or... Yeah, but no, my lips are injected.
You look fabulous. You look fabulous.
Thank you.
Okay, I have to know, like, okay, so you get there and you're living in a model apartment. Like, is there adult supervision? Like, this actually sounds scary.
There was no adult supervision. So my mom could only take off a certain amount of time from work. And when she took off work, she got her own place, and I stayed with her for that duration. It was like 2 weeks. It was enough to get me through the W shoot. And then they started sending me out on a lot. Like, I was doing like 5 and 6 casting calls a day. They wanted to send me to Asia. I had to get my passport. And I, instead of focusing on work, as soon as my mom left, was like ready. I was like rearing, chomping at the bit. Like, I was out with Leonardo DiCaprio when I was literally 15. I played beer pong with Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel when they opened up their Southern Hospitality restaurant. Like, I was just in the nightlife. Like, I cook with Adam Sandler. Like, I was bad. I was bad.
These people as bad as, like, because right now everyone's coming out with, like, oh, the celebrities, like, all this stuff about, like, trafficking and non-consensual things. Is that, like, something that you experienced? I didn't even expect that conversation to go here.
I'm going to keep it positive, because I just think that I personally don't think people were aware of necessarily, like, the age of models back then, or if they were, I think it was just so, it's so normal to be out in New York with, like, 14-year-olds. Like, it just is, unfortunately. Uh-huh. Like, everybody that I was out with was, like, 14 and 15. Models are, like, 17 now, but not really 14, but, like when I was modeling, it was, like, 14 and 15-year-olds. We were out in the clubs. So, I don't know how much they were aware of. So it's, like, hard for me to say, like, that they're terrible people. I just know that it was a different time. Wow. So I personally wasn't trafficked or put in like any really bad situations. Everybody that I was with definitely gave me like
yeah.
And I think like for sure they might have gone for it if I was a bit more together. I was just kind of like partying and wasn't really focused on like getting with guys. So I don't know. I was okay. But I do know that some of my friends, one of my good friends like had a love of, God, I can't really even talk about this because he's like married now and very famous. But it was a model that I lived in a model apartment with, and she slept with him on the top bunk bed, and she was 16.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So crazy. And like at the time, it's just normal life. Like it's normal life to be just taking things strangers give you to drink or to eat. And yeah. Wow.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I feel like if men are out now with like models at that age, like I feel like they definitely need to ask like, are you 18? They really should be asking, are you 25? Like not 18, but at least my God, let's get them legal. Yeah. But I think they ask that now. Like, I don't think it's as lenient as it was yeah. back then.
That's one thing, like in my lesbian dating platform, I always say you have to be 18 to join and you have to like agree to that. But mm-hmm. I share a lot about age gap relationships because I think like all the younger lesbians are just feral for the older lesbians. But I always say like very honestly, I think your brain isn't fully developed till you're 25. So although it's legal, let's just be logical about this and like take care of yourself.
Yeah. It depends on the person too. I think some people have to grow up really fast. I grew up really, really fast, but my brain sure as hell was not developed until I was like 26. I didn't even know I was gay until I was 26. So it's like, how the hell could you say I was developed, you know?
Yeah,
it's definitely a crazy time. Like there's a lot of crazy stories about that. And like, I definitely know there was a lot of illegal stuff that I was around, but the only people that I really know that were like trafficked were girls from Romania and stuff that would like have to come here like on like a green card to model, and then like a rich guy would sponsor them.
My God.
Yeah.
What was the craziest thing about that? Like, what does that look like? So they sponsor them and then they are like that person, they're responsible to be with that person?
They sponsor models, like upcoming models, and it's pretty much a relationship. So the model has to sleep with them, be at their beck and call, but they pretty much fund their modeling career. They put them up in a place, they'll give them a green card or like get them a visa and just kind of sponsor their journey. We'll get them meetings with other people. So it's almost like nepotism, but with a sugar daddy for like other models from different countries.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it still goes on. I mean, I know a few people. I mean, I'm not even going
to
say anything.
Yeah, don't you have to say anything. That's just horrible. Yeah. We live in such an interesting world where women are treated as products.
Oh, facts. I mean, I've used it to my advantage at times and gotten ahead, but at the same time, I truly like worked for everything that I had because I refused to like sleep with men to get to a place I wanted to go. No shade for anybody that like, I do not judge. Like at all. If that's what you want to do, go for it. You do whatever you want to do. I fully support that. If you're comfortable with that, great. Like you live your life. I'm not going to judge your life. I personally just didn't want to like do that and feel like I got somewhere because of a man. So I never did. But I feel like I would have been further along with certain things.
Interesting.
For sure.
Interesting. And also like beyond just your personal ick for it, you're a lesbian. So I'm sure that was never, like for me, I always look back and I go, was I really like, so like wanting to wait till marriage to have sex the Christian way, whatever? Or was I just a lesbian who used that as an excuse? I wasn't aware that I was a lesbian, but like, was that just like a way for me to stay away from guys? Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, like we don't even know how to process
yeah.
it. We weren't even aware.
Right.
Okay, so what is that like? You're in this very straight industry. How do you even start to figure out that you are gay?
Yeah, I my brain was like shut off to the idea of women for so long that like I just didn't even look at them like as an option. I was always like, ew, I could never eat. Like that was like the biggest thing. I was like, they're pretty, but like I could never do that. And then I don't know. I just think as I matured and got older and I really started being almost like disgusted by the way that not all men, but a lot of men in society have portrayed women as objects, the way I saw other women be treated in the industry, et cetera. I really was turned off by them in society. So that was the first thing that led me to like starting to appreciate women more was like watching how men interact with other women in society and treat them. So that to me just started really getting on my nerves. So I really like couldn't look at men the same anymore once I started becoming more socially conscious and aware of women's rights, etc. And then I started appreciating women. And then I just was out in LA and like it became a free thing out there. I saw gay couples in my mind, I think just all of a sudden started to open it. Somebody, Jack said, I'm trans and I've seen both sides of the world. Many men are disgusting and treat women like products. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm assuming in his experience that it's been even more wild to see it because you're seeing it from one lived experience and one body. And then now in your transition world, you're seeing so much hatred. I like can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with the election, but I don't even want to talk about that. Cause that's so horrible for transgender people everywhere. It's horrific.
But I've been crying all morning.
But let's not go down that rabbit hole. Yeah.
I've been literally crying. It's just not been good times. But I'm hoping that we can get to a place of unity and that people don't quit believing and fighting for what's right.
Yeah, completely agree. Maybe one day, you know, but we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. Okay, so you start just not appreciating men in society. At what point do you decide I need to do this? Is it that girl, that catalyst girlfriend, which they all break your heart, that first girlfriend?
Mine was just absolute, like she's like, I know we all say our exes are crazy. I have some great exes, but she was just on another level. I pray to God she never sees this. I'm like, if I ever die one day, it's that first ex. Like, I get murdered by her.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she was crazy. But it taught me a lesson, you know? You have to really pay attention to what a person has on the inside versus the outside, because, oh my God, I liked her outside a lot.
Yeah.
Her inside was a different story. But I forget your question.
No, I want to understand it. How did you go from it went from just not really enjoying being around men, not respecting them anymore, to just being like, I'm going to try this?
Okay, real quick, I need to tell you about Wisp, an online healthcare service that is for the girls, gays, theys, and me. In fact, for 3 years, they have been a part of my daily regimen. I know many of you listening long to create beautiful women-loving women relationships. And that, my dears, begins with excellent kitty care. Like, no offense, I don't know about you, but I personally don't want to be at a kitty cat cafe, if you know what I mean, that doesn't provide the freshest dessert for me to lick. So do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and keep your kitty cat cafe fresh. With Wisp, everything from the consult to receiving meds is done from the comfort of your phone, and the company is proud of being inclusive, cost-effective, and accessible for everyone. Wisp believes that you know your body better than anyone else, which means no more urgent care visits for issues such as UTIs, yeast infections, or STI treatment. You can save so much time not going to in-person appointments or waiting in line at pharmacies. The free shipping will save you so much time. Or same-day pharmacy pickup can have you feeling better faster. Before Wisp, I was prone to getting BV, but my kitty pH balance stays perfect. Chef's kiss now that I am on a consistent probiotic regimen. Ladies, this is so important. Personally, I subscribe monthly to Wisp Probiotics, Sexy Time Lube, and OMG Cream. It's like female Viagra. I also get D-mannose and boric acid vaginal suppositories as needed, so I'm prepared if something starts to fill off down there. Also, if you're about to meet a new partner from my lesbian dating platform, you definitely want to be tested before sleeping with someone new. You can order discreet online testing from your bed before you jump into bed. Go to the link in the show notes to learn more, or go to hellowisp.com and use my code Sophia for 15% off. That's code Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, for 15% off all your kitty needs. You're welcome. Okay, back to the show.
I started kissing girls in bathrooms. I started when I'd get drunk, I would start making out with girls in bathrooms. And I was like, why am I doing this? And I just caught myself staring at them more.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? Like, I just, and then the men's pheromones started smelling bad to me. Like, they literally just started smelling bad. Like, it was like my body knew before my brain could catch up. It was so strange. And also, I think they had just, men were really terrible. Like, they, the ones in LA really did me in. I mean, I dated them and they were just all players. And like, this is before I had confidence and like had game myself or whatever you want to call it. And like, I would never let that happen to me now, but like, I didn't know how to handle like a guy toying with my emotions.
No.
So it was a lot. And I think like it did me in, and I was also already starting to like see women. So I think it was like both together. And then
Okay.
I just, yeah. And then Orange is the New Black and Ruby Rose came on, and I was just like, oh my freaking God. Like, I've got to like hook up
Okay.
with somebody. Yeah. And it's funny, my friends kind of knew before I knew. Like, they were literally like, Olivia, why don't you like come to this gay party? So some of my queer friends in LA, because I made queer friends, were started inviting me to the parties. And I was like, at the parties, that kind of confused why I was there. You know, like I was just the friend.
Oh my
But
gosh.
I think, but they knew before I did, you know?
Okay. Yeah. The friends always do. Not the parents, but the friends.
The friends always know before you do. It's so weird. And now when I look at other girls that haven't come out, I can see, like my ex-girlfriend was straight. So like my ex was fully straight, had a boyfriend when I met her. We became best friends. And then I knew from the moment I met her, I knew that we were going to date, but I didn't know how to navigate that because she had a boyfriend. So like when they broke up, because they broke up, I told her, I was like, we have to wait like a few months before, like we can't talk because this is gonna look like I stole, so I can't do
Yeah.
it. So like, so we didn't talk for like a few months, and then when we came back around, the feelings were still there, and yeah, and then we dated. But it's like I can sense that with other people before they can. Like I always knew that she was a little gay before she did, and now she's, I think, a lesbian, but I'm not gonna speak for her.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that. I feel like gay just like senses gay. I remember finding your TikTok, I want to say like a year ago or something. And so this is
A
really
year
random.
ago, I just got TikTok 2 months ago.
Okay, see, this is what I'm wondering. Is there another Olivia Day who is a model?
Maybe, because I have only had TikTok. The first TikTok I ever made went viral. And then I was like, what the hell? Because I literally got on it like 2 months ago. And then the second TikTok that I made, my coming out story, went viral. And I was like, okay, maybe I should do TikTok. Like,
You
but
should.
I literally don't even tell people on Instagram I have TikTok. So if anybody's watching this, they're like, what are you talking about? You have a TikTok?
Your TikTok's wild. We love it. That's what I discovered you. Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, just like quick synopsis, I thought that you were this model with long blonde hair, and then someone effed up your hair and you post a viral TikTok about it. Am I on the right track here,
No,
or have you always
that is my TikTok about having long. I had longer blonde hair. It wasn't long, but it was like longer. That and the viral hair was my TikTok.
Yeah.
But no, that was my very first TikTok. So like yeah, I don't know who that was
Yeah,
a
so
year
when
ago, but
I saw it, I was like confused because I'm like, where did she delete all the other ones when she looked too femme? Like, that's what I was wondering.
No. I just literally never had one. I think I actually made one TikTok during COVID, but it was like really embarrassing. I took it down like after a day. It was a dancing TikTok.
Oh my God. And now your energy, like you're like those guys who broke my heart in LA or whatever. I'm like, no one would mess with you now because you're like
Dude.
queen lesbian energy. Like you're the one who gets the chicks. Like that's the energy that I see in your TikTok. I don't know if it's the haircut. I don't know if it's the vibe, but before your hair was this short, I'm like, were you always this like hybrid energy or did you carry more feminine?
That's so fucking funny. I think the haircut definitely helped me step into it a little bit, but no, I've always had I guess like not top energy because I mean I am dominant, but like that's not where we're going with this. But no, it's a confidence thing. And when I stepped into being gay and I had been gay for about a year or two, that's when I really was like, okay, I know who I am. Like I
Yeah.
stepped into myself and I kind of reclaimed like all of the like wrongdoings. Like I was like, I'm in my power and like nobody's gonna take anything from me anymore. Like this is it. And once I kind of claimed that power, like now I just stepped into my confidence. I think that's really what it is. And also I don't really care. I don't, I just am, I'm myself. And like, if people don't like it, then they don't like it. And I think that's also part of like, when you come out, you have to be like, this is who I am. And like, oh, well, I hope the world likes it. And if they don't, oh, well. And most people don't, like, who cares about other people? I mean, I love that other people are super nice and very supportive, but at the end of the day, you can't care if they don't like you. You know what I mean?
100%. No, I love the confidence and the way that you confidently recut your own hair. That's especially when your career is you're getting paid for your appearance, right? That's got to be stressful. Were you freaking out? Because tell everyone the story. Like, you go to get a haircut.
I went to get a haircut, and I am not going to out the salon, but I went to get a haircut. It was my first time in New York, in Brooklyn, and I just Yelped it. I was just like, Yelp, and then I asked like one other person, and they were like, yeah, this is a good place, go. So I went, and they, I don't even know how to describe it. This guy was actually like a trainer for hair, and when I really scrolled through his page, he had some wild cuts. Okay, like some wild cuts. So I feel like he just saw me as like a let me experiment art. He was like, this is gonna be art. And he just went to fucking town, right? And then he, it looked really bad. So then I was like, can you please redo it? And he tried to redo it and he fucked it up even worse. And then I was like, okay, now we have to like shave the back because this is like, this doesn't look good. Like, what is happening? And it just we just kept cutting, and I was just like, oh my god, I gotta leave. And I just like left.
Were you crying, or were you like,
I was fully crying. I was like, what am I here?
I would have been bawling my eyes out. And you handled it so good though. Like, you haven't, like, I mean, even now you're like, I don't want to out the salon, but like, oh my god. Okay, so you go home and you start cutting it yourself.
Yeah, I cut it myself. And then it was just, I mean, it's just hair, honestly. I kind of was like, okay, this is a vibe. Like, they actually did me a favor. So I really was like, okay, they did me a favor. So I'm going to rock with this, you know? Honestly, like, whenever people are like, this doesn't look good on me, I'm like, yes, it does. You just have to wear it like it looks good on you. You just have to wear it like it looks good.
You are.
Like, that's so all right. That fashion is. It's just the confidence that what you're wearing looks good.
Yeah. 100%. And people always tell me that, like, my sisters and my mom will be like, you could wear a paper bag. I studied fashion and I love like putting things together, but maybe most people wouldn't put together. It's just same. A fun thing for me. So
yeah, absolutely same.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you're beyond acting now. Beyond modeling, you're acting now as well. You moved from Los Angeles to New York. What's that like? What are the types of films you're in or pieces that you're in? What does acting look like for you? Or are you still mostly modeling?
Yeah, so I acted a lot. I have a movie that's out right now. It's doing the festival circuit. I did a lot of horror films. Nice. I always played the crazy psycho person. I started doing movies, like acting in movies when I was, I don't know, like 5 years ago. And I actually like had success, which is kind of crazy. And then I just realized I didn't love it. Like, when I was in Atlanta doing it, I was just like, I don't love this. Like, I don't want to audition. I want to be me. I want to be myself. And like, how can I be myself but still make a career? Because I have a BFA in film and television from SCAD. And I was actually behind the camera, like producing at Paramount Pictures before I switched into acting. And I was modeling the whole time as well. But I was just like, how do I make a switch? And that's when I kind of like started researching reality TV. Mm-hmm. And how I've landed on the reality TV vibe. And there's like, I can't talk about what I want to talk about, but like this coming year, there's going to be a really good lesbian reality TV show.
So exciting. Okay, so are you producing those?
Oh my god, am I even allowed to say this?
Okay, what area of it?
I'm on it, but I co-created it.
So cool.
It's gonna be really good. I feel like I'm not allowed to talk about this right now.
Okay,
not
that's
not
okay.
Even like release.
I know how that goes. I just like some reality TV like start to get on show things, and like there's so many like things you have to sign. And
yeah, like I need to sign some stuff. Like, but no, I think there's a big market that's missing in lesbian reality TV. And we're gonna fill it.
Yes. Okay, I love this. So I have a friend who is also developing a lesbian reality TV show. I need to get you guys together because I know
Really?
she, yeah, she's looking for like other producers and yeah. And it's really good. Like her concept's
What is
actually really
it?
good. I
What's the
can't
concept?
share because I don't want to be the one to like disclose it,
Oh,
but I
okay.
can connect you with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's amazing and like one of the most connected lesbians like in lesbian world.
Okay.
So
Oh,
yeah, I will.
that's sick. Yeah. The producer that we're working with it, well, not the producer, but the company is the top, like one of the top companies for reality TV. So it's gonna be, ours is gonna be huge too. So that's amazing. I
I'm
cannot
so
wait.
excited.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear. You definitely have to connect me. That's so interesting. All these lesbian reality shows are gonna
I
come out.
know we need more representation. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think the reason it took me so long to come out was because I didn't see other feminine lesbians in the world. So I didn't identify with like being super masculine. I was such a girly girl. So like, oh, there was no way I could be gay was how I thought because I didn't see lesbians in the wild in the South.
Yeah, that's it. That's definitely a huge, you touched on it. That's a huge gap in the lesbian world. And also, like, I think another thing that's so rigid is like people have to pick like mask or femme. Like, I literally, my personality is typically kind of this, but like, I will dress, I'll femme it up if I really want to. And like, maybe even act a little girlier. Like, I don't know. I just have fun with it. I don't care. And I don't like, I think it's just be whoever the hell you want to be that day. Like, if a
Yeah.
femme wants to dress tomboy that day and like have some more mask energy, like, good for you. You go for it. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like it's such a spectrum, and I don't know why everybody has to be shoeboxed in. I think that's kind of boring. And I think a lot of people are kind of stepping out of that too. So that's nice.
I love it. Yeah, my girlfriend's like this mix of everything, somewhat like how you are, and I love it because some days she can be like really feminine and like how she takes care of herself is really feminine, but then the way she'll dress can be masculine. Anyway, yeah, I
Somebody said,
love
"What's the topic?"
it. The topic is lesbians doing cool shit.
lesbians.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what would be your advice for someone who's listening? Because I'm so honored to say that the women who listen know that the show is about lesbians doing great things in the world, whether they're very powerful or very purposeful. And if they're interested in getting into modeling, getting into acting, what is the advice?
The advice for getting into modeling is never pay anybody. You shouldn't have to pay. If you're going to be a model, you will get scouted. I honestly think you'll get scouted. I've seen a few times when people have really, really manifested it and worked for it and they've made it happen. And if you believe you're supposed to be a model, then you can make it happen as long as you find the kind of fit the modeling world. But I would say post on social media. So if you're trying to make it happen for yourself, connect with photographers, do collabs, DMing with photographers that you like and resonate with. Typically, like, start with the ones that don't have a ton of followers, so they're willing to collab with you. And then do a shoot. Have a stylist and hair makeup artist, and or just shoot digitals at home, and you can submit like digitals to different modeling agencies. A lot of them take submissions, and they're stupid. You just shoot it on
Yeah.
an iPhone. And so that's a really easy way to do it. Just Google digitals. But yeah, I think a lot of it is just, do you look the part? And usually if you do, they kind of find you, or if you submit, they'll reach out to you. Rarely is it like you really have to get your Instagram in check. Like, you don't. Like, you don't have to have a follower. Like, you literally just have to have one good digital and agencies will call you. But
Interesting.
If you really believe in yourself and you really think you're supposed to be a model, then you need to collab with photographers, start building a name in that industry. Atlanta is a great place to do that. Like, Atlanta, you can literally not be a traditional model and you can build a portfolio and you can work with photographers, and a lot of them will collab. It's so amazing. And a lot of people are really talented there. And then you can travel to different markets and test your luck. Like, once you feel like you have a good portfolio from Atlanta, then you can hit New York. You definitely don't want to hit New York or Los Angeles first. You want to start somewhere smaller, build your portfolio, and then hit those.
Ooh, great advice. Thank
Yeah.
you. We got a comment that says the issue with modeling is it's too gender specific. Females can't be masculine. Too many of the agencies focusing on females being feminine. Those that advice is important. To be honest though, like before you even say it, like just raw as a human, like we don't get to make the rules of society. So like, yeah, that sucks, but I'm just like, Like, do you want to do it? Like, do you want to be in the industry or do you not? And like, maybe having to give people what they want. Okay, but what's your take?
No, I mean, I see, I always felt like whenever I was in the industry, they made me look more masculine. Like, I swear to God, these
Really?
photographers always wanted me to look like a boy, like when I was very feminine. So I actually did not have that experience. I'm not sure what market that experience is from, but that was not my experience. I will say with acting, they definitely have a bigger gap with, like, yeah, they want you to look feminine. Like, as soon as I chopped my hair off and was acting in Atlanta, I got way less auditions. Way less. When I came out, they only would send me gay roles. And I'm like, I love gay roles, but why can't I go out for straight roles? Straight people go out for gay roles. So it definitely was a lot harder with acting. But if you want to get into acting, you need to reach out to film schools. Like SCAD is a great school, and just reach out to their students, ask what they're filming, and ask to audition for their films because they have really good equipment and everybody does it for free, and you can build up your reel that way. So do little short films from students, put it together, and then you submit that to an agency. Or you can go to agency calls. They have like, I don't know what they're called. Like Get Seen is in Atlanta. And they like host like a little get scene and you do a monologue in front of the agents. So there's stuff like that. And if again, like they don't always call people, like they don't always pick people, but if you're good, you'll get noticed. And that's the thing that people have to remember. It's like if you're not getting noticed, fix your craft or go to a different market. Or maybe find something else. Maybe that, that's not the right thing for you. Because sometimes you have to be willing to like let the universe guide you.
That's so good. It's like super raw, honest advice. Okay, I'm curious as someone who, beyond what I do in the dating world, I have a social media business academy online, and I'm always teaching people how to build their personal brands because AI is coming in hot. With modeling, I'm legit scared. Like I make commercials, like little commercials for TikTok for a healthcare company. I'm looking at AI going, what the fuck? Like, what does this mean for you? Like, for me, it's just a few $1,000 a month. It's not a big deal. But for you, like, this is huge. What does it mean? Do you have to have a personal brand? Like, I don't know. Is there any way to be saved?
So the reason why I created or am co-creating, God, I gotta get this terminal. I should have had a PR meeting with a person before I did this because I'm like, what am I allowed to say right now? Oh my God.
It's okay. We'll read between lines.
That's why the reality show and being on a reality show was so important because I knew if I didn't get my image out within the next few years, then I was not going to have a career because I don't have nepotism. So reality TV, I hate to break it to you, but that's where the industry is going. If you're not going to get on reality TV, it's really hard to break into acting. It's super fucking hard unless you're seriously talented. I would start with reality TV. And a lot of reality TV stars even make the transition into TV because they're going to carry the followers on social media. So I think social media and reality TV is actually, it's flipping. AI has made everything flip. So it used to be, if you did reality, you could never be a movie star. It's going to be the opposite now. It's going to be who has the most followers that are going to get the most money for the film. So reality TV.
Yeah, and I think that all comes back to like who has the most followers. It's about having that personal brand, and people are gonna pay for your likeness over an AI.
Exactly. That's the only way to keep it safe.
Oh my
You have to build it,
God.
build it, build it
Build
now.
it now. If you need help, DM strategy. That's what I do. Oh
You
my God,
go.
but that's like legit scary for someone who's been in the industry as long as you have, who's so talented, who knows their shit, who has like worked hard to have the look and be this like perfect model specimen, to know that you're competing with a
Stop.
computer is insane.
Yeah, it definitely is insane. Luckily, yeah, I think like you just have to have a presence. You have to have a brand, brand yourself as something and stick with it, which is so hard for me because God, like I never wanted to brand. I want to cut my hair every other freaking week. You know what I mean? Like it's hard, but you just have to do it. Bite the bullet, brand yourself, and you'll make money.
Yes, the truth. Okay, my last thing that I want to ask you is personal. How are you going to get through the growing phase of your hair? What are you going to do? Are you going to put a wig? Like, what are you going to do to get through the growing phase
So
when it
I
hits like
didn't,
Lord
no,
Farquaad?
I didn't get through it, Sophia. I already had to recut it. Okay. Right before I came to Colombia, because I'm in Colombia right now, everybody. That's why I'm sitting on this chair. That's a whole other thing. I literally decided, I was like, my rent is so expensive in New York. It was outrageous. And I was like, why would I stay in New York if I could literally live in Colombia on a beach for pennies? Like,
Yeah.
it's so cheap here and it's beautiful and stunning. Like, I don't know why people don't come to Santa Marta, Colombia. I'm literally gonna like start repping it like for free. Like, it's so beautiful and amazing. I got off topic, but I cut my hair right before I came with literally kitchen shears because I was like, I cannot let it grow out. And I just like shaped it in the back with a razor. Like, I took a razor and just shaped it and like cut it. And it's not straight at all, but I don't care.
It's okay. We're gay. We don't need things to be straight. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So oh, I don't think I'm not getting through the grow out period. I'm not letting it happen, I don't think, which is weird. I thought I was going to let it grow out.
I just know it's going to be challenging. Like, it's going to be like, you have to expect 2 years.
Where in Colombia? Santa Marta.
So you moved to Colombia completely.
Y'all want to see?
Yes, we want to see. Oh my gosh. Is this your new place?
It's stunning. Yeah, this is where I'm staying. It's literally like a 5-star resort, and I'm saving money.
Saving money. Okay, were you able
I put my stuff in storage. My lease was up. So my lease was up after 6 months. I was in Brooklyn. I have to move to Manhattan anyways for the show. So I was like, why resign when I could just like live on the beach for a month and like get a new perspective on life, a new culture. And I just picked here. The dollar goes really far here, and you can literally live in a luxury resort and like have 3 meals a day like handed to you, and it's really amazing. I love it here. The people are so nice too. Oh my god. And the food's incredible.
Well, what a idea. I definitely think, like, if things keep going the way they're going in the world right now, I might be moving.
Right, Colombia. Colombia is better than America.
How is it for gay people in Colombia so far? Like, what do you, because you like have the gay look with the haircut, right? Like,
yeah, I have not, nobody has perceived me as gay yet.
Interesting.
Yeah, nobody's perceived me as gay. They just thought I was European. Everybody thinks I'm from like Russia or something because of my haircut.
So like
I'm like, okay, nobody's asked me if I'm gay. So I don't know. I think it's just like, I haven't seen gay couples. I've seen a gay guy, but I don't think he's even out. I shouldn't say that. I'm like outing a random person at the resort I don't even know, but like but yeah, I haven't seen any gay stuff here yet. So I don't know. And I've only been here for 3 days. I wish I could give you a better answer.
Okay. We'll follow up. Well, thank you so much for taking time, especially with like, we didn't know how the internet connection would work. This is a great conversation. I appreciate all the advice you gave to the queer women listening about getting into the industries. And I'm excited to hear about your reality show. So we'll have to do a follow-up once that airs.
Yes, definitely. Wait, I have a question for you.
Oh, sure.
I want to know about your queer country club. I want to know how many people you have made into a couple.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
So right now, we're still in very baby phases. I launched in July, like the first week of July. Yeah. And we've had about five couples that they've come to me and they've said, hey, like I have a girlfriend now. Other than that, we don't always have people come to us. We're working on getting better data collection, like through AI to be able to know, like, this is why someone's no longer on. But we've had probably about 800 members, and we've had about 450, maybe more than that in right now. My goal is for you to find love and not stay in forever, but it's an incredible growth-minded community. So the women who do find partners or do go on a date, I'm assuming some just keep their membership and like just don't go in, put like a little pause on going in. But yeah, it's cool. It's so different because it's not just a dating platform. It's not swiping. It's connecting based on values, conversations, true community, and then live events where there's singles, mix and mingles, and you get these little like speed dating sessions, but they're small groups so you don't feel pressure. And it's just meeting in a really authentic way online. And there's so many women like you, Olivia, who are traveling the world and have that flexibility and are really happy in their lives, just looking for like their person. They're just tired of the hookup culture.
Do you do like matchmaking? Like if I told you what my type is, like, would you matchmake it instead of, and like, I could pay a fee for that instead of doing a club?
Like a, like the luxury version. Yeah. We are going to be doing that. We are.
Like, I want that.
Okay, so we are going to be doing that. However, I must say, you can come in, especially once the new year begins. Right now, we're working on proprietary AI to help match you. Her name will be Sapphic Sophie.
Oh.
It's like a version of me. Yeah. And you'll be able to tell her exactly what you're looking for and what you're not looking for. And then she's going to be able to scrape the data of our community.
Yeah.
And be able to match you with your best match. And you'll be able to come back every week for a new match that is the perfect fit for you out of everyone that's in the community currently. So that's really exciting. And it's going to make it way more affordable because matchmakers are like $5,000 to $50,000. Like, it's insane.
It's insane. I'm like, rich people, why do rich people only get match made? Like, this.
Yes.
Like, we can't all be loaded. We deserve love.
We deserve love too. Exactly. Yeah. No, I priced matchmaking actually about a year and a half whenever I broke up with my ex, like right before I met her and then right after I broke up with her the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is at like $7,000 was the price that I was quoted. And after comparing things, I was like, this is actually affordable in matchmaking world. Like, 7,000 wasn't asking for a lot. So one day we may eventually bring on like an in-house matchmaker.
Yeah.
But right now the technology that we are creating is going to be
better, probably.
Plenty good. Yeah, it might even do the same work. And every single woman that comes in, of course, not all 450 you'd want to date, but I must say, like, even if this sounds rude, out of all the lesbians in the world, I'm really marketing towards the very best. You can't just come into this community. You have to pay to be there. There's an initiation fee. There's a monthly fee or an annual fee. So it's $47 to come into the country club initiation fee, $17 a month, $97 for the year. And so the women who are there really want to be there for the right reasons. If they're not looking for a life partner, they're not going to pay that. So it really cuts the bullshit out.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a job and don't aspire to have a job, you're not going to be coming in either. So it's women who really have their shit together.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. Well, whenever I'm ready for a real relationship, a serious relationship, I will hit you
up. Whenever you're ready, let me know. I can't wait to say Olivia Day is inside of the Queer Country Club.
You're so funny. Oh, thank you so much, Sophia. This is the
best. Thank you, and thanks for bringing your energy on such a crazy day. Like, this is the day after the election, and we brought such strong, happy, good vibes. So
yeah, praying for the world, for sure.
Praying for the world, for unity. Sending such big hugs. Enjoy your time on the island. Bye.
As queer women, that's women with an X, because of course we are inclusive here. As I was saying, as queer women, we haven't always been lifted up or celebrated. We have often felt left out and put down in places that historically haven't welcomed us. In fact, we have been conditioned by society to be grateful for mere tolerance. My resilient LGBTQ+IA community, I am talking to you. I'll bet you've recognized the spark that God put in your heart. Your unique calling to impact the world in only a way that you can. A business idea, a brand to build, a coaching program to start, the art to create, the song to sing, the book to write, that relationship you long to build. But that little light inside your soul has often been blown out by the people around you, leaving you conditioned to play small and not step into your full potential. You are not alone, and it's never too late to truly live your most authentic dream life. I would know. I came out late in life, nearly 30, a couple years ago, after being bullied for months inside a country club. Right outside of my weights class, I was assaulted by a bigoted woman who couldn't stand my queerness. She physically pushed me, so I had a meeting with management. I told them I didn't feel safe. I brought forth evidence, and guess what? They did nothing. Sadly, this is normal. But in order to create change, we have to be brave enough to be the change ourselves. So I did a thing. I started my own virtual country club for queer women. a safe place for us to create meaningful connections and grow. So if you're looking for a love connection, networking opportunities, or coaching to live your best freedom life, you want to apply to be a part of our incredible community of purpose-driven, passionate queer women. Join Queer Women Rising, the online queer country club for growth-minded women ready to level up in life and love. To apply, DM me the word rising on Instagram at Sophia Spellino or chat me the word rising on sophiaspellino.com. Now, beyond hosting Queer Women Rising, I am a personal brand coach and social media strategist. If you give me a moment to tell you about what I do, I can share how I can help you, just like I've helped many clients before get famous online and make more money. If you're an exhausted coach or service provider, ready to scale your business for real, or you're just getting started building your dream brand from scratch, and if you're ready to build your own profitable personal brand, I can show you how in 6 months or less. But why should you take my word for it? Well, I've spent over 10 years in the social media marketing industry, amassing over 400,000 followers across platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as hosting a top charting podcast, building a successful service provider business, and coaching powerful women to build purpose-driven, profitable personal brands. Yeah, I have the social media and sales process strategies that can help you finally make the money you deserve. Because I want to help you build your dream business that gives you time, freedom, and makes real money. So for a limited time, I'm giving away your first steps to go from less than 5K months and advance to 10 to 20K months. Grab my newly revamped Profitable Personal Brand Blueprint, my proven framework to build yourself a personal brand that motivates, inspires, and sells so that your business can thrive the way it should. Just go to the link in the show notes. Whether you're a novice at creating or you're feeling stuck, hitting a plateau in your business that once had consistent revenue, and need guidance, support, and coaching to get to your next level, I invite you to book a strategy call to speak with either me or my team to see if we'd be the right fit to work with each other inside of the Profitable Personal Brand 6-month coaching program. Mind you, I am extremely selective and this coaching program is not for everyone, and I'm not afraid to say it. I am only taking on serious, purpose-driven, and committed queer women and allies inside of my community. If that's you, book your free strategy call. The link is in the show notes. And if you feel yourself come alive and love listening to Queer Women Rising, please leave me a 5-star rating with a kind review wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to share the show with a powerful woman you know. And remember, when you're called to do something greater in life, love, or business, you will be uncomfortable until you move. So get up and go get what you want. Let's rise. Let's rise.